Grace, mercy, and peace be yours from God our Father and from the Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. With Christmas carols and angelic anthems still ringing in our ears, God's Word today in Luke chapter 2 takes us from the manger scene in Bethlehem up to the temple in Jerusalem. Here, the newborn Jesus is presented to the Lord. This was done in accordance with the law of the Lord recorded in the Old Testament. Joseph and Mary offered a sacrifice according to the law, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. This presentation shows us two things. First, it shows us the humility of the newborn king and his royal family. If he had been born to a more wealthy couple in Israel, the law requires them to buy a lamb for a sacrifice for the firstborn male. The birds were allowed in the law as a sacrifice that poorer people could afford. But even in this humble way, blood was shed and the law of God was fulfilled. We remember here, especially appropriate at Christmas, I think, after the opening of many gifts, that God's kingdom isn't about having the nicest worldly things that money can buy. Rather, God's kingdom depends on having the best thing that God himself gives. God gives us his Son, cloaked in humble human flesh. God gives salvation in him and under his name alone. It's not those who give the most or get the most who go to heaven. It's they that receive heaven humbly through repentance and faith, who receive from God in the form of which heaven comes to earth, in Jesus, through Jesus' absolution, through faith in the presence and the forgiveness of sins that he offers in his word and his sacraments. Second, the presentation of Jesus in accordance with the law was a foreshadowing of Jesus' life as an adult. Jesus' whole life, from the early days to the last, would in fact be lived fully in accordance with the law. Jesus says later on in his life, "I have not come to abolish the law, but to fulfill it." He didn't merely become the Savior after he proved himself to be a good Jewish boy by eating all of his Wheaties and making his bed every morning. He was the Lord's Christ from birth. His life and later his sacrificial death on the cross was the law's fulfillment for us. We had sinned and deserved death, but he died in our place. He was God's gift of salvation for us sinners, apart from works and failed obedience to the law. His parents couldn't afford a lamb as a sacrifice for sins, but God the Father, in his mercy, provides the lamb, his Son Jesus. To sum up these teachings, I offer here this little rhyme for children called "Worthy is the Lamb." From the time he was conceived, God was well pleased. To the time of his last breath, Jesus was God's best. Worthy is the Lamb in his temple. At Jesus' presentation in the temple, as we heard in Luke 2 today, there were two people present, an old man named Simeon and an old widow named Anna. Both are regarded by God's word as faithful people, servants of the Lord. Simeon is called devout, waiting for the Lord, and believing the word revealed to him by the Spirit that he would not see death until he saw the Lord's Christ. Anna was waiting for the redemption of Israel, waiting for deliverance, waiting and watching for the Lord. These two are good examples of what we, young or old, should be doing. Waiting on the Lord, waiting for his coming again to take us from this veil of tears to himself in heaven, trusting in the risen Messiah. I would bet that even in their old age, that Anna and Simeon had plenty of righteous complaints about the world in which they lived in, complaints that perhaps wouldn't be entirely different from that if we asked some of the old people in our congregation today and some of our widows in the church about the condition of the world and the church today. For example, maybe one of their complaints was no one or not many are living upright moral lives according to the laws that God gave us for our good. Perhaps they would say widespread worship that isn't faithful to the Lord. The temple and the teachings of God have been corrupted by teachers of the law. Perhaps it was just as it was in Jesus' ministry, that the temple was more of a den for money changers and thieves rather than a house of prayer in the Lord's presence. Simeon and Anna, looking around, might sum up the day in Israel much like we would. Many are called, but oh, how few live by faith in God's word. What's more, Anna and Simeon are old, and perhaps they feel helpless in changing the state of things to make it better for God. They may have been helpless, but not hopeless. For behold, a baby comes to the temple to be presented to the Lord, and both Simeon and Anna were glad to see him. When they saw him, they saw God's salvation, as the Spirit had made known to them. This was the Messiah, as the Spirit of God had made known. The loving kindness of God was in the form of a child, the hope of Israel. This Savior comes to deliver God's people from sin, darkness, and death. It was the true cause to rejoice and proclaim the goodness of God. Simeon, the old priest, was pleased that he could now die in peace, according to the word of God revealed to him. His eyes had seen the Lord's Christ, had seen God's salvation. Anna was pleased that her waiting on the Lord was not in vain. After seeing the salvation of God, she, even in her old age, told others who were waiting for the redemption of Israel. Now, what does this have to do with us? Well, we today get to see and taste that same salvation and fulfillment of the law that Simeon and Anna beheld. As Jesus in his word today gives us his body and his blood to eat and to drink, we rejoice that God is in his temple for us in a real way too. We can depart in peace. God has made good on his promise for Jew and Gentile. Simeon's words in Luke chapter 2 become part of the church's communion liturgy. Our response today after having communed with Christ is to sing, "Lord, now you let your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of every people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of your people, Israel." The peace of God received allows us to live in hope of our Savior's visible return until our dying day, or that day in which he comes to take us to be with himself. You know, after the days of Christmas here and after your guests have returned to their homes, the mistletoe is taken down, the tree perhaps taken down, the festive portion of Christmas is past, many of you, I'm sure, will hope to have a few days of peace and rest. But that peace is short-lived before the work and school and appointments for this and that begins again. Life gets busy. The peace that we get from time off will have passed. But the peace that Simeon professed in our gospel is an enduring peace. A peace that would allow him to die confident in the Lord that the proper time when God calls him home that he will be ready. May that peace be yours today by faith. That peace, as God's word says, that surpasses all human understanding. May it guard your hearts and minds as we wait together for life eternal. May we receive this peace always, and may we share it as the Holy Spirit guides us, that others may receive and rejoice in it too. For today, the Christmas promise is that God has entered and is present in his temple. May the Word made flesh bring you peace in believing. God grant it for Jesus' sake. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which does surpass all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.